You might have a mom, she might be the bomb, but ain't nobody got a mom like mine. Her love's till the end, she's my best friend. Ain't nobody got a mom like mine. See, we go way back. Oh, I remember.
Good morning. Meghan Trainor. That's my wife listens to her at the gym. And she's kind of bebopping around, and she looks really strange, but that's okay. Mom, it's kind of a cool song. Well, happy Mother's Day to each of the moms in the room and future moms. Sandy's done with being a future mom. She's a past mom. Well, she is a mom, but you get the point. My daughter Amy is pregnant with her third child. Oh, yeah. Not one guy made even a moan at all. Oh, they went, $250,000, yeah. But it's true, it could be worse. It could be mine. No. Amy, she found out about 6 weeks ago, she's got a daughter named Sienna and a little boy named Ezra. And I think they're like 4 and 2-ish. It doesn't matter, it's just around there, okay? I don't need to know the birthdays of my grandkids. I barely know my own kids. So she's having a baby girl. Last week she went and so she told Sienna. Sienna really wanted a little girl. I had a clip, but it seemed selfish to show my grandkids on the screen, and we don't get to show yours, so I didn't. But it's the funniest little thing where she found out it was a girl. She had a pink shirt, not a blue shirt, and it was a big deal. Well, see, Amy and Cody went back this week to get an ultrasound. And, you know, technology is really, really amazing. And I guess it was one of those high-tech ones. I don't know if it's 3D and all that stuff. I wasn't there. Don't want to be there. But surprise, surprise, there was something extra. And it's going to be a boy. So Sienna is not tremendously happy about that. She's not happy about that. So... But it is Mother's Day, and I love Mother's Day. I love my mom so much. I probably love my mom more than you. Come on, yeah, give me some grace. No, I had a great mom, just like most of you, many of you do, and she was spectacular. She died about 25 years ago, so she was 40 when I was born, so you do the math, and it kind of makes sense. but I loved her so, and she loved me so. She valued me every day of my life, and... she thought I should be the president of the United States, and maybe you would rather that be true today. But I'm just kidding. But we all know better than that. But she thought that about me, and that's good for her. But I want to do something a little different today, something I've never done before. Is this on low? It's kind of humming in my ear. It may be that I'm getting older. I don't know. But I want to do something a little bit different. If your mom is no longer living, I want you to stand up and stay standing, please. It's an easy question. Easy question. Easy question. Alan, you can raise your hand. You don't have to stand up. Please raise your hand a little bit. Yeah. Lewis, is your mom alive? Here. Oh, great. Cool. That's a good news. Good news. Thank you. I didn't know. Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. You're not in heaven, okay? I didn't plan that, by the way. Okay, now I want every person in this room that your mother's not alive to look around. We don't get to be with our moms. And we love our moms, all of us. And there is going to be a day where you're standing in this room. And it might just be an age issue, but I just want to challenge you, those of you who have your mom today, to love on them however you can. And think about those of us that don't have our moms and wish we could. I know some of us, John, how old are you, 90 what? 90. 90. It would be hard for your mama to be alive today. Yeah. Do the math. So you can sit, you can sit out, guys. Thank you for that. I just wanted to, so many different roles that a mom plays throughout her life, and I want you to watch this. You'll enjoy it, and we'll Yeah. Oh, yeah. One day, a little girl is sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink, like she's seen many times before. And she suddenly notices that her mother has several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette hair. And she looks and she goes, "Mom, why are some of your hairs white? What's going on?" And her mother replies, "Well, every time you do something wrong..." This would be a tiger mom. "Every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of the hairs turns white." That might be a little controlling. The little girl thinks about it for a while. Then she says, "So how come all of grandma's hairs are white?" Whoops. 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 So today we're in our series, Commands of Jesus. I know you probably thought I was going to talk about Mother's Day. I'm sorry. I only got so many of these Sundays left. And I come to you every Sunday in the name of Jesus. And I love my mom. My sweet wife loves her mama, and I love my mother-in-law. But we need to love Jesus more. And so I hope that today pushes you down that road just a little bit, not a lot. We're not trying to change your life. We're trying to let Jesus fill our life so that we can be the sons and daughters of our moms that make them proud, and maybe even more importantly, make our Father in heaven proud. So today, wrong judging is wrong. That's what Jesus is going to tell you. Matter of fact, we could just pray and go visit outside, but I don't think we will. You don't want to, do you? You know, wrong judging is wrong. So let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for each and every mom that is in this room. May you bless them this day. Thank you for their life and investment and their touch in each of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would just fill their heart with joy, and that they'd feel our gratefulness. We love you. We want you to speak to us. Jesus, we welcome you into this room and into our lives, and we want to be filled up. We want to be invaded by you. We want to not only know that you're certain, we want to live as if you're certain in our life. So encourage us today. Touch us today. Teach us today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series, if you're new with us, concerning the commands of Christ. And it's built around Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, "Go into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then he says, "And teach them all that I've commanded you." That's his encouragement to them and to us through them. And so we're looking at those commands item by item, and I'm assuming they're getting your attention, because I know they're getting mine, and they're recalibrating my life and making certain things way more serious than they were before in a positive, good way. And just like in a way that if you were going down the freeway today, let's just pick the 405 for fun, and you were in a hurry, and you're going 85 miles an hour, and a police officer saw you and got you and was really kind and smiled all the way through, writing you in a very appropriate ticket. And he'd say, "Sir, could you please slow down? I can do 74 or 75. He'd never admit that, but that's what he thinks. But you can't go 85. There's a certain sense where, as these commands have come at me and I've had to present them to you, where they have absolutely captured my attention individually. And I'm not sorry that I picked this series. Well, no, I'm not. But I hope that it's gotten yours as well. And today is certainly no different. So we're hoping to see them, you know, clarify them, learn them, so that we can teach others what this most important material is that Jesus lifted up high and says, this is what you ought to be about. This is what you ought to do. So today we're looking at the 16th commandment, and it's about judging. And as you think of that subject of judging or pronouncing judgment on somebody in some way, it's one of those subjects that make us a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, just hearing that word, you kind of go, ooh. None of us wants to be judged by others. We just don't. Yet at the same time, we know, if we're honest, that we judge others. Ouch. Anybody here want to tell me that you've never judged anybody in your mind? Life? No, I don't think so. Thank you. I don't know what I'd do if somebody says, no, actually, I haven't. Kenny, take him outside. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we talk a lot about Jesus in this place, and we're going to continue to as long as I'm alive and functioning. But this is one of those areas in life that if you figure this one out, like all of them have kind of been, some of them more so than others, but you can live out the adventure that you want to live with Jesus more so. Because he's going to be very direct to you, as he has been to me this week in preparing this, by what he says, by just dissecting it, by understanding it maybe more completely. And the truth is, you can be a good judge or a bad judge. All of us are judges, whether you like it or not. You can't step out of that. It's your responsibility, as you'll see as we move through the message. But some judgment is very bad and very wrong, and some judgment is necessary. And hopefully you'll see that as we work through things. Or just tell me I had to talk about moms for a half hour, and that would be a relief to me. No, didn't think so. All right, reasons wrong judgment is bad. You ready? You fired up? Ready to go? Hope so. Prepare yourself. You might want to buckle your seatbelts. Number one, stop acting as if you're God. Stop acting as if you're God. This is what Jesus is getting at, if you want to understand some reasons why you shouldn't judge other people inappropriately. This is exactly what you do when you judge people in a wrong way. You set yourself up as God. Judging at its core has a wrong view of God. And Jesus certainly wants you to figure this out. To judge another person's motives, to curse another person, to condemn another person is to play God. And I mean, as you think about that, have I ever done that before? Have you ever done that? Yes. So I've played God in my mind and heart. Maybe it hasn't even come out my lips. But that is exactly what you're doing. So somehow, if you can itemize this stuff and clarify this stuff and go, I don't want to do that. Jesus doesn't want me to do it. And it is so humanly natural. Matthew 7:1, there in your notes, says, do not judge. Jesus says directly during the Sermon on the Mount. To judge means to separate or to choose, to select, to determine, make a determination. Lots of meanings about the idea of judge or judging. And there's two types of judging that we deal with in life. The first, number one, is condemning judgment, condemning. Jesus is against condemning others on every level. And this is what you want to hear and learn loud and clear, especially based on human standards, which is a natural operating procedure for most humans. It's what we'll do, and we'll dissect that a number of times as we go through things. All self-righteous judging, all egotistical judging, all unmerciful judging is wrong. We shouldn't be involved in that. It's condemning judgment. Jesus is telling us, don't judge the motives of others. Why? Because you can't. You're not right. We can't even judge our own motives oftentimes. How are we ever going to judge the motives of others? Yet you know, you're in your brain, you've tried to figure that out. And what you're going to see when we get to the end, I'm sort of giving you a punchline. But when you do this, when I do this, I'm completely wasting my time. Bless you. And I mean completely. It produces nothing. It's like a rat running on one of those wheels. And who wants to do that? Because we are South Bay people and we're cool and we're wise. Don't ever feel like you have to pass judgment. When you do, you're playing God. And religious leaders excelled at this because that's who he constantly is going after. He sets them up as people for all of us to learn from, that he doesn't want us to be like that. And there is a natural inclination in all of us to tend towards legalism because it feels safe. It feels conservative. It feels right. But Jesus says, I came to set people free, and not just free of their sin, but free to love. And the moment you lean towards legalism, you get a little bit more dramatic, a little bit more controlling, and a little bit more judgmental. And I think y'all know that. Isn't this a great message for Mother's Day? I mean, it's not like I picked it. A classic example of self-righteousness and judgment, I'm going to give you in Luke chapter 18, verse 11. And we'll read it together, just for fun, huh? Let's read the Bible. Cool? Where's Carlos? Man, he's supposed to help me. He can't be seeing his mom. Is his mom alive? That would be impressive. Okay, ready? The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. The Pharisee, the religious leader, right? Well, stood by himself and prayed. He says, God, a prayer that Kenny, I'm sure, has never said in his life. I thank you that I am not like other people. He just started off wrong. Alex, just all messed up. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. Verse 12, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I'm amazing. Did he say that? It's like he said that. Look at me. Ta-da. God, because he goes spiritual on us now. God Almighty, the Father of the world and earth, have mercy on... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I skipped ahead. I got a little dramatic in judging the Pharisee. But the tax collector stood a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, the tax collector. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, this Jesus giving you truth, giving you the punchline, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be guaranteed, promised to be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted in due time when God decides. Now, Jesus tells us, gives us, if you will, a clear result for this guy. And it's not good. The proud, the arrogant, the self-sufficient, the self-righteous one, which is what somebody who judges others in an inappropriate way is and becomes immediately when they do it. He's not justified. And what that means is he has no relationship with God, yet thinks he does. He's not headed to heaven, yet he thinks he is, based on his performance and his perceived godliness in his own mind, because he gives a tenth of what he makes, because he views himself in a way, when he looks in the mirror, as a wonderful spiritual religious leader, of which he's not. Jesus made clear over and over and over again in the New Testament. People who lift themselves up often do so while condemning other people. And the sad fact is we've done that ourselves in our life, and we know it. We're well aware of it. A second type of judging, all right? So the first, are you getting this? Is this making sense to you so far? All right. Condemning judgment. The second is conclusion judgment. Joe, could you close that back door for me? Conclusion judgment. Some think when Jesus says, do not judge, that it means you should never criticize anyone. You should never evaluate anyone or make decisions about others that are significant. This wasn't his intent at all, especially when you look at the whole of Scripture. Conclusion judgment is making a judgment call after examining the evidence, looking at all the facts as best you can, applying God's wisdom to any and every situation. That is our responsibility in life. We're encouraged to do that. You do that every day of your life. deciding whether you should buy this, deciding whether you should invest in this, whatever it might be. There's a whole horizon of decisions that you make all the time that necessitate your judgment on things and people. Jesus is not saying you can't judge, which is making conclusions about people and things. You have to. But there's a wrong way and a right way to do that. And when you figure that out, if you go home with that clear, and when you begin to judge on the wrong side of things, you can say, oh, wait a minute. Jesus, you don't want me to do that. I have learned now. I'm not supposed to do that, so I'm going to step away. We need to stay away from motives. You can't judge the motives of another. And when you do, you're spinning your wheels, folks. You're burying your rear tire deeper in the mud. And you're going nowhere fast. And you're burning gas. And you're messing things up. We need to stay away from judging and making declarations. It's not your job or mine. There's hope for everyone, no matter how low they are in their life. And we got to keep that hope alive. Wherever the spirit of the resurrected Savior is, there is hope. Anybody, everybody might turn their life around. So obviously we make judgments every day and we're expected to. But to judge as God judges is not our department. And we need to learn to stay away from it. Matthew 7:15, which we're going to get to in a few weeks. It's not in your notes, but it's coming. It says this. It says, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. So what's he telling us? He's saying, basically, judge those who speak for God. You guys all ought to be judging me right now, especially those of you who have known Jesus for a while, know the truth. And you ought to be looking at it and going, is Jim correct? Can I trust him? Well, some of you that have been around, maybe it's easier for you. But if you're new, you've got to keep somebody at arm's distance until you can embrace them. You see the fruit of their life when they speak for God. We're to judge those who speak for God and do so regularly. He's saying that. The Bible says in James, let not many of you become teachers, because when you do, you fall under a stricter judgment from God himself. Number two, let's keep moving. So don't play God. Does that make sense? He says, do not judge. Number two, next, Jesus warns of a boomerang effect. Boomerang effect. B-O-O-M-E-R-A-N-G for the boys in the room. Or you just scribble it. Jesus tells us to stop judging another person's life, ministry, motives. Leave them alone. God will take care of things. Sometimes we think we got to right every ship. No, you don't. Let God be in charge. Trust him. Trust him. When or if we do set the standard for when we do judge other people, we set the standard for our future judgment, which is a little bit terrifying what Jesus is about to tell you and me. Look at it with me. Verse 1. So he says, do not judge, or look at it, or you too will be judged. You too will be judged. When we judge others inappropriately, there's a boomerang effect that comes back to us. That's what he's saying here. Look how he goes on, verse 2. Jesus goes on, for in the same way you judge others, in the exact same way. It's terrifying. I hope you're getting this. If you do it with harshness or with mercy, this is in your brain, this is with your lips, in your lifestyle, what you've allowed yourself to do. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And I don't even know how to quite play this out in a computer file in your whole life. This is a little terrifying. Jesus is spelling out a future reality for every one of us. How we treat others is how we'll be treated in this area of judgment. So if nothing else happens today, you ought to get your life, body, mind, and heart filled with mercy. And as you do and live that way, you will be judged differently than if you're living a harsh life in this area of judgment. I hope you see now why this is so serious. He goes on, and with the measure you use, with whatever you've figured out, how you're going to live with this idea of judgment in mind, because all of us do, we have to, it will be measured to you. So in other words, God takes note of how we live, how we function, how we interact, what we think, what our actions are. And Jesus is fully trying to get our attention here, no doubt about it. He's communicating a profound truth here. When we pass judgment on someone without mercy, we set ourselves up to be judged without mercy. That's exactly what he's saying here. It's like a boomerang. And I don't know if you guys have ever played with a boomerang or not. I'm not sure if you've seen how much control you have or not. But we want to kind of test that out today. What are you laughing about? It's a big room. What are you laughing about? You don't think I can go around that back pole over the I got people running. You don't think I can take this. I was an athlete at one time and go around that back pole and come back to me and miss Kenny's head. I'm not going to try. I wanted to. But we all know, because of our Australian friends, I guess, what a boomerang is. And you throw this out, and supposedly it's supposed to come back. And I'm sure somebody that knows what they do, that's what happens to them. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say to us, is what happens with the way we judge, that comes back to us. This is a big deal. I do not want you to forget this. This got my attention. The real fuel behind judging others is some think that they're better than other people. Some think they're more committed than other people. And therefore, in some way, in their mind, in their heart, they're better than others and more special. It can happen to any of us. So they end up judgmental because other people don't do things like they think they should be done. Does this make sense to you? Or we believe their motives are wrong, as if we could figure those motives out. And in reality, what we do is we pass judgment on them. We usurp God's position in their life, who maybe want to work on them, and God needs and wants our mercy in their life rather than our judgment to be an example that he can work on them through you. The truth is, we fail miserably at trying to be God. You don't pack that gear, and we can't do it. That's what Jesus is getting at here. And I read this in John MacArthur's commentary. It's a little frightening and did not fit Mother's Day, by the way. In ancient Persia, a certain corrupt judge who accepted a bribe to render a false verdict. So he took a bribe and rendered a false verdict against the guy, and it came out. He was executed by King Cambyses, something like that, historically. The judge's skin was removed from his body and was used to cover the judgment seat. I know. Happy Mother's Day. So here's what happened. Subsequent judges that would come along after him were forced to render their judgments while sitting on the chair as a reminder of the consequences of perverting justice. You talk about getting somebody's attention. You think I had your attention with the boomerang? Terrifying. Being judgmental is dangerous to everyone. To the victim, certainly. They may not even know it's happening, and it's happening. To the one judging as well. He or she gets what they give, Jesus says. Cause and effect. If you're doing the judging, you're the cause. And it boomerangs back. That's what Jesus says. I'm not making this stuff up. Number three, with wrong judgment, number three, the main problem is self-righteousness. That's the main problem. This is where it comes from. If you're a regular judger of other people in a wrong way, it's because there's some self-righteousness rooted somewhere in your brain and heart. Wherever it comes from, I don't know. But I know humility is a tough road. And I know pride messes everything up it touches. As mentioned earlier, the religious leaders set their own standard for religion and morality. They modified God's word in their thinking. It's what they did. They made it work for them. Tradition took over. Their tradition, their desires, their wants, their abilities, and they judged others by their standards. That's exactly what they did. And the truth is, we talk about these religious leaders and Pharisees and mean guys, and they killed Jesus, and they were legalistic. We talk about all that stuff all the time, but the truth is, we can fall right into that pattern in a different way. And it's pretty easy to do. Where our way is the right way, my way. If you do things my way, it's the right way. Now, nobody ever says that, but there's a certain sense where in the inside of us, if we were wrong, we might choose another path. This is where getting older and wiser and submitting to God, you see how messed up you've been. You look back, you just want to go back and tell everybody, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Where we build our preferred traditions, you know, what matters to us, and we make that sort of gospel in our home, where really it isn't. It's just our wishes and our desires. Then we start demanding that other people submit to that. It's not nice. And it's a pattern that we all can fall into in little ways, medium ways, or big ways. And Jesus smashed this way of thinking and acting. He smashed it. Blew it up. What are we talking about? Look at verse 3. He says this, a bit indignant. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust? Now, we've all heard this passage, sometimes used out of context, but the speck of sawdust is not just a little piece of fine soot off some saw. This really is like a splinter or a twig. This is a significant piece. This is serious, what's going on in this guy's life. By way of the example of his eye, to have anything in your eye irritates you, drives you crazy. You get an eyelash in there, you're like not worth anything. You're rubbing your eye, it's all red. You look like you're drunk. It's never good to be a pastor and have an eyelash in your eye. So he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention? What does it mean to pay no attention? You don't even care. You completely ignore something. You pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. Now, it could be a plank. It could be a log. The idea is it's something gigantic compared to a twig or a splinter of some sorts. And the idea, the big idea here is the one that is criticizing is much worse off than the one that's being criticized by the man or the woman who's judging. Verse 4, let's go on. Are you getting this? Is this making sense? It's got to make sense or I go crazy. How can you say to your brother, and this is Jesus, perplexed, if you will. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? You see, only the self-righteous does this. The humble guy would never do this. Only the self-righteous guy or gal does. Saying, I can fix you if you'll listen to me. And they're a freaking mess. They got a log in their eye. It's coming out. You need a lumberjack to work on this fella. And Jesus goes on. These are his words. We're not making it up. When all the time there's a plank in your own eye. Dude, you're messed up, is what Jesus is saying. You're not facing real reality here. The sin of self-righteousness makes you blind to what's right is what Jesus is saying. Because if you got a log in your eye, you're not seeing anything. Nothing. And you think you are. That's self-righteousness. The religious leaders were blind. Watch this. And it's silly. It's very silly what I'm about to show you. But I think you'll get the point because you're South Bay people and you're cool and you're smart.
Richard, you got something on your nose.
And that's what happens when you have a C student for a pastor. He likes that stuff. The religious leaders were blind. And the message here is you and I can be blind. Blind. They refuse to see their own sin. That they were self-righteous, that they were all about themselves, that they had taken over God's role and place and job. They oppressively judged others. We've seen that over and over again. They sought to control others. Sometimes we in this room have a control problem over other people. You got to let it go. Because when you're trying to control somebody, listen to me, you can't love them. When you're trying to control them, you can't love them. You can't do both of those things at the same time. Convince yourself of that truth and start loving them. Yeah, I want to help everybody be all they can. Every one of my kids, I did my best. But it really is their life at some point. They proudly look down on other people. It should never happen. It's the opposite of loving people. The absolute opposite. This kind of wrong judging, condemning people, controlling people, restricting behavior in the lives of others has no place in a Jesus follower's life. None. This is exactly what Jesus told them not to do over and over again and tells us today. And it's hard. It's hard. This is not easy stuff. To say, okay, I'm not going to judge people inappropriately anymore and actually live it out. That's why I talk to you about following Jesus every day, all day long, is the hardest work you'll ever do, especially when you begin to understand things, because other people don't have to. They're not even thinking about it. But when you do, you live with and feel the smile of Jesus in your life. And when you feel that, you are empowered. Your life ends up blessed in ways that you couldn't have brought on yourself. So he tells us not to be that's self-righteous. But when it comes to judging in a right way, we all have to make decisions. As Jesus followers, we must be discerning and perceptive to the best of our ability. And be honest, be full of mercy, and have a right view of ourselves because we're a mess. All you got to do is look back in your past. Sometimes we just overlook all that garbage in the past, and we start judging people that are doing the same thing we used to do. And it's not nice. Jesus dislikes when people look down on others and are harsh with their judgment. That's what he's getting at today. When it comes to these attitudes and actions, and you act that way, yet cut yourself slack, it's not pretty. And it's not beneficial to you or anybody else. The issue of self-righteousness breeds selfishness. It empowers people in a negative way. It'll mess you up. I'll mess you up fast. Arrogance always does that. Number four, the person who judges improperly lives a life without mercy and self-reflection. Does this make sense? Good. That's music to my ears. Jesus tells it like it is. He does all the time. Well, he does here too. He defines this kind of person, a self-righteous person, a judger, a constant critic. They are without mercy. They don't do well with self-reflection. They don't do well with facing the truth about themselves because it's so uncomfortable. Look what he says about them. He tells this person what they are. He tells us. He says, you hypocrite. I mean, this is Jesus. You calling names. But he's just telling the truth. This is what a self-righteous person is. They're a hypocrite. Why? Because they put on an act. That's not really who they are on the inside. They know who they've been. You're well aware of your shortcomings and faults and limitations. When you can get comfortable living with them and bring them up, upgrade them if you can. But not a one of us is perfect. And the sooner you can say that and live that and connect your life to Jesus, he can bring out of you what he wants. Honesty, transparency, always is better. Let's go on. You hypocrite, he says, first, do this first. Take the plank out of your own eye. The self-righteous person must face themselves. They must face the truth. This all comes from pride, that they don't want to face it, and a lack of humility. Face your own sin. Face it. Admit it. Stop your condemning spirit towards others. And see that you need me. That's what Jesus is saying here. Take the log out of your own eye. You aren't okay alone. You need me. And then, what does that mean? Well, at that point, then and there, you deal with the plank, and you're a different person. This is where Jesus breaks through, and he can change your life. You see, if you meet Jesus, and he invades your life, you give yourself to him, and you encounter him in your life by way of faith, and he becomes real to you. He makes your life better, and he'll make you into a better person because he'll take the log or logs out of your eye. When the plank is removed from your eye, when you face your lack of mercy and refusal to face your failures, look what happens. Then you will see clearly. Bang! Just woke three people up. You'll be able to stop the negative judging in your own life. You just got to take that step. You got to go through that door. At that point, you can help your brother. He goes on to say, you can see clearly to remove the speck, the twig, or the splinter from your brother's eyes. Now you can get rid of the splinter your brother suffers with. Imagine that you become a doctor when you clean up your own eyes to help another be able to see what's real. What is Jesus telling us? Once the log's removed, we begin to see where we didn't see before. We are blind, and now we see with eyes of mercy, not judgment. Your life and world is rocked. And you see them on your level. You don't look down any longer. Once self-righteousness is removed, we no longer are faking it. We stop being hypocrites. It's a beautiful story. Number five, Jesus ends by telling us, stop wasting your time in life. Again, this is very direct. But it's him, not me. Judging others in a wrong way is wrong. It's wrong. Living in a self-righteous way is wrong, and you got to figure it out. Thinking you're better than others for any reason is wrong. Living in with a prideful life is wasting your time and life. What am I talking about? Look at verse 6. He says, do not give to dogs. Now, dogs in biblical times, they were not household pets. They were not like Maggie that lives at my house and Mike's. Okay? And they just weren't. I mean, Maggie is so sweet. If you're a burglar, come to my house. Maggie will go home with you. It's horrible. Some were working dogs, and they worked with livestock, certainly, and help out in that way. But most of them were mongrel dogs and wild dogs, scavengers. They were mean. They were dirty. They were often diseased. It's like when you go to third world country. When you're in Haiti or in Guatemala, there's little dogs, skinny dogs running around that aren't anybody's pet. And believe me, you don't want to pet them, okay? They aren't dogs like here. It's different, and that's what it was like back then. He says, do not give the dogs what is sacred. And the idea here is meat that has been sacrificed to remove your sin. You don't want to throw that to the dogs. He's trying to get at something you'll see in a minute. He says, goes on, do not throw your pearls, precious jewels, your treasures, things that are important to you and valuable. He says, to pigs. The idea is swine here. Now, to a Jew, a swine is the bottom of all the animal kingdom. It's worse than cockroaches. I mean, swine is horrible to them. Almost all were wild. They didn't have domesticated pigs. If they saw the Midwest, they would die, okay? But they just wanted nothing to do with them. They were wild. They were scavengers. They would eat out of the trash pits. They were dangerous. If they were in a herd and you encountered them at night and you got between them and food, they might kill you. They can be nasty creatures. He says, don't throw your pearls to pigs. He says, if you do, they may trample them under their feet. The pearls that should be treasured, he says, a reference to God's promises and truth. By the way, pearls and what is sacred, God's precious truth that changes our life as we conform to it. He said, turn and tear, they might trample them under their feet, waste them, throw it away. You're wasting something, and here it would be your time and your life, and turn and tear you to pieces. Again, they are dangerous. He's trying to tell us something. Part of what Jesus is saying here is learn not to waste your life. It really matters, big time. And you don't know who it matters for, because you may be touching somebody. Somebody may be watching you at work or in the neighborhood, in your hobby, whatever it might be. Don't waste your life by trying to impact those who won't listen. We sometimes are chasing up the wrong road with our idea of reaching somebody for Jesus. Feel mercy and compassion for somebody that doesn't want to listen, but refuse to force pearls on those who would devour them. If the Jesus conversation is you want to further it comes up and it gets shut down, let it be shut down. Don't force it. I want everybody to get it about Jesus, how he can be different in your life than just something you believe in. He can be your friend, your brother. We're joint heirs with him. So many people leave that on the table. Continue to pray for him. Show compassion and mercy, but move on. Move on. And never, never become self-righteous. Do not go down that road. It is a temptation for all. Thinking you're above somebody else, because you're not. You're not. You at one time were lost. You at one time, just think back, you needed hope really badly. It's as if there are two main roads people go down. And you're gonna see some of your friends and family in this category. Two main roads. The first is they become judgmental. The second is they become loving. You got two options, baby. It's hard to be in the middle. Either condemning or loving, cynical or hopeful. Cocooning away or investing in others. It's very fascinating because we all get to do whatever we want. We really do. So Jesus teaches some things real quick. You ready? Number one, if harsh in judgment, it returns. You determine, at least in some part, how you're going to be judged yourself. Number two, refuse to look down on others. This is a gore point. For everybody, I think. Meaning a choice must be made when you come up to it. You're either going on the 105 or staying on the 405. No matter where you pick at that gore point, you're going. You can go turn around, but you're going once you're past it. In choosing who we're going to be, what's going to be important to you? A life of selfishness or service? This may be where it's at. How we view and treat others communicates a lot. And it tells the tale of who you're following. Treating others is a big deal. Number three, stay honest with yourself. Self-reflection is necessary when you're talking about this kind of stuff that's inside of us, that's internal. To stay away from self-righteousness, recognize it before you can ever stay away from it. To fight off being judgmental, to remain full of love. Self-reflection is crucial. Being honest with you. With the guy or the gal in the mirror. When or if we live honest with self, you need to tell the truth to you about if you're loving or not. And make a shift if you aren't. Is somebody else more loving than you and it's obvious? Not about judgment, but about how can I learn from them? Why are they so selfless? What do they got going on? Is it culture? Is it the way they grew up? Why do they like to join up and be involved? What's going on here? You see, other people want love like you do. Other people want acceptance like you do. Other people want to be valued like we do. But why not give that away? When we're honest with self, we can begin to do that. and live different. Number four, learn to lead your life, is what I mean. Learn to lead with mercy. Anytime you get condemning, what I want you to do, my dream would be, bam, an alarm goes off. I waked up eight people there. I've gone too long. But an alarm, knee, 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 something goes off when you get judgmental in a condemning way. Danger lies ahead. Hypocrite, hypocrite. Something really negative and nasty in your mind. Now, if somebody else gets judging, I don't want you to go, knee, knee, you know, at lunch, okay? Well, you can if you want. You got to explain everything. But a hypocrite is who you are when that warning goes off. Train yourself. Put guardrails up in your life. Learn from Jesus and go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. There's some questions for you to think through if you want. Let's pray. I already gave you a killer video with peanut butter. You ready? Lord, thank you that we can talk about you. We love being warned by you. It's hard, but we want you to get our attention regularly and help us be the people you want us to be. We want to be followers completely. So, Jesus, we hear you today, and we're going to do our best to learn how to deal with that judgmental part of the inside of us that condemns at times. Help us work on it, Lord. Give us fuel. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Have a great day. You might have a mom, she might, there's no